So then, remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made by the flesh, made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were once, that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world.
But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one, and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who are far off, and peace to those who are near, for through him both of us have access in one spirit to the Father.
So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints, and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. And the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God.
Ephesians 2, 11 through 22.
Good morning. We're going to be spending the next 2 weeks looking at the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And we're going to do that through drama in a couple different ways. So if that word freaks you out, I'll just ask everybody to kind of be willing to get out of their comfort zones and to extend grace if this is something you end up really hating. It's not, this morning, it's no one will be performing there, and you won't be speaking in front of other people. So you don't need to worry about that if that's something that makes you uncomfortable. So the story of the feeding of the 5,000 is interesting in that it appears in all four Gospels. And then there's like another version of the story in some Gospels as well, where Jesus is feeding 4,000 in a slightly different setting. But it's clearly a really important story from Jesus' life that's familiar to most of us. I'm going to be reading the version from John, but I'd also kind of like to point out before I do that, what happens right after this story in the different Gospels. In Matthew, Jesus feeds the 5,000. He walks on the water. And then he explains what is clean and unclean, which is not the same understanding that people have had before. And in Mark, it's something similar. In Luke, it's immediately followed by him saying to, I think, Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" Where he's trying to get Peter to understand that he's the Christ. In John, right afterwards, he walks on the water, and then he uses this incident of the feeding of the 5,000 to explain that he is the bread of life. And so as we experience the story this morning, kind of like to hold both of these ideas in our head, that Jesus was very concerned about the physical feeding of the people around him. Like, he never neglected people's physical needs just to administer to the spiritual ones. But at the same time, he himself was using this to teach about a larger spiritual truth in terms of how we give or how we receive the bread of life that he offers. So this story is really central to who Jesus is, in other words. So I'm going to read the version from John. Sometime after this, so after this long preaching that he's done before this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Well, here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. So we are going to experience this story today from the viewpoint of the crowd. And then next week, Tom is going to be working with the story from the viewpoint of the disciples. So to do that, we are each going to take on the role of someone who would have been in the crowd. And I am kind of working here with some exercises that we did at a workshop at Mennonite Arts Weekend. In the winter. That's what some of this is from. So there were all kinds of people in the crowd when Jesus was speaking. We have record that he interacted with lepers and prostitutes and tax collectors and Pharisees, so people from all stratums of society, and he loved and saw the worth in each. Okay, so everybody work with me here. We need to clear some space, so what I'd like for us to do is get the books and stuff on the chairs, and then these two rows should be as close toward the back as possible, and then we need basically like a square. We need 3 sides of a square in terms of chairs. So we need to... And what I need you to do, if possible, is to divide yourselves in half, with about half over here and half there. And young kids, like Charlie maybe Sean, you may want to work with an adult. I'll explain more on this. So just go ahead and have a seat. Just make sure about half here and half here. Guys, not in the middle. About half here and half here. Okay, so what I'm going to do is splitting up in half because the first part works better if you don't have more than 15 people or so doing it. I'm going to have little slips of paper that you draw, and these papers are going to have a number on them. So this is going to be your number. So the number one person is going to be the most powerful, prestigious person in society, in our modern society, that you can imagine. Okay? So that, whoever that may be, the lowest number is going to be the weakest, least powerful person that you can imagine. And this is not like inner strength. This is sort of how society would look at these people. Okay, you can think in terms of this person's physical abilities, what they look like, their job or their lack of a job, what language they speak, and sort of create in your mind who this person is, okay, that you are going to try to work with. Does that make sense? So one, super powerful, and down to about 12, 13 would be the weakest, most pathetic members of society. Yes? Okay, are there any questions? So you don't have to do anything yet. Just get your number. Don't tell anyone what your number is, though. And if kids want to work with an adult, if you want to work with an adult, you can do that. You just have one number between you and decide to do the same thing. Or if anybody else needs to pair up like that, you can do that. Okay.
See how this goes.
And think about who this person is. This is in today's society. Yeah, we're not going to try to translate it into biblical society. We're just going to have the understanding that there was, you know, stratums in biblical society too. Just stay seated. Think about your number and think about the person that you are going to try to inhabit here. The closer you are to the middle, the closer you are to what you would think of as sort of a average, everyday person. Should be about 1 in 12, but where did the...
Yeah. I have no idea what this number says.
So,
lots are millionaires.
Yeah. Okay. So,
12 and then 13
a peasant, or the modern equivalent of a peasant. Yeah, and again, this is not, we're not talking necessarily about like inner strength. We're just talking about your place in society. Okay, so now what I'd like you to think of is a gesture that represents your character, that indicates something about them, something that you can just do repeatedly. So when we did this at Mennonite Arts Weekend, the person who was number one decided they were the Queen of England, and they went around going like that. Yeah. So something like that, that indicates something about your person, okay? Something, I mean, it doesn't just have to be with your hands. Something you could do with your body, your head, something physical. Not verbal. No, none of this should be verbal. Okay? So think about that and then just practice doing that in your chair. Just do it. Yeah, if you're the queen, just wave. Okay? So yeah, practice your gesture. You don't have to look at other people. I just want to make sure everybody has a gesture. Okay, does everybody feel okay? Now what we're gonna do, we're gonna get out of our seats. Wait, not yet. So this group is gonna start here, and this group is gonna start here. And you're gonna walk from here down to there and back repeatedly, doing your gesture and walking as you think your person might walk. Are they slow? Are they fast? Are they hunched over? Yeah, and if you are just like super uncomfortable with this and really don't want to participate, you can just sit in your seat and do your gesture. But really, anybody who even slightly feels comfortable with this, please get up now, and
your group will stand here, okay?
Just stay on your own side and go back and forth. Just stay in your own groups for now, because it's going to be easier for the next step. Okay, notice your posture. Are you in a hurry? Are you moving slow? Are you comfortable in your body? How aware you are of the other people around you? Okay. And now what I'd like you to do is within your group, stay with your own group, without speaking, arrange yourselves so that the most powerful, prestigious person is here and the weakest member is down there. So you're going to form a line. Does everybody feel like you're in the right place? Okay, so start here and tell us your number. Yell it out.
1, 3, 5, 9,
17. How did that get in there? Okay. have double numbers? Maybe I'm just bad at writing. Okay, but basically, you're in order here. Okay, over here.
Two.
One.
Wow, you guys were almost totally in order, except for Charlie. Okay, so I'm going to walk down, and if you want to tell us a little bit about your character, you don't have to. But just sort of talk about how you were envisioning this person and why you chose the gesture you did. If you don't want to talk, just say pass.
I guess what I envisioned was a sports star who was white male, and his dad was one of the 1% and had lots of influence. So
okay,
he could do no wrong according to popular culture.
Okay, well, real quick, one sentence about... Yeah, I was a 3, and I just was trying to feel like somebody just had a lot of, in high society, a woman just enjoyed going wherever she wanted.
I was 5, aware of power, aware of people, many people with less power, observer, but comfortable with where I was. Probably school teacher.
I just felt like I was just kind of like in the middle, but kind of lower in society. Just felt like I... didn't want to face anybody because I didn't have enough money. My clothes weren't as nice as everybody else. And just felt like I just kind of wanted just to be in my own space and just not even be a part of society.
Dan was super low on the scale.
Cleaning a motel.
I was a 9. I think a single mother, probably black, on welfare.
Yeah, just not really meeting, not making eye contact, just kind of trying to, not be touched, just do what I...
Intellectually and physically minimally able. If I didn't have to walk back and forth, I would be in a motorized bed.
So physical mobility limited. Okay. All right, so we're going to start up here and go down to just real quick, talk about who you were.
Ready to stomp on anybody who tried to get ahead of me.
And were you?
Number one.
Right, did you have to?
Just, no.
Powerful. I owned a hotel.
You owned a hotel? So he owned a hotel, and I think Jerry was cleaning hotels. So. Steve was cleaning hotels. Okay.
She left me when we started, so. I was a 3. I was thinking of someone strong. Like a CEO or someone like that. Mm-hmm. Someone in charge.
Pass.
I was a recent graduate of Yale with a law degree.
That's fine. I was thinking of myself as a slouchy, middle class, indifferent college kid.
I was a manual labor carpenter, sort of a skilled artisan, but just average Joe. Mm-hmm. That was a 5.
I was an 8, and I was a single mom with lots of children.
I was a 10, thinking of someone who maybe couldn't work or chose not to, but had no vision of ever being self-supporting. Mm-hmm.
I was 12, and I was thinking of myself as a homeless teenage runaway who had been disowned by my family.
Great. So we have lots of different characters here. Okay, so what we're going to do now, I'm going to give you three scenarios, one at a time. Actually, if you want to have a seat while I explain this, feel free. Just anywhere. You don't have to stay in your groups now. You need to remember your number and your character, but we're all going to just be doing this as one big group now. Okay, what we're going to do, we're going to have three scenarios in which you receive food, in which food is given. And the first two are kind of modern, but I was kind of thinking of them as parallels to, like, biblical scenarios, because bread and people giving food appear in Jesus, you know, in the Gospels numerous times, but this is the only time where Jesus sort of makes parallels to this story representing who he is. I mean, he has parables about bread, but this is only like real life story, as far as I know, where he compares himself to the bread. So I'm going to give you the scenario, and then we're basically going to form a tableau. So I'm going to give you a moment, and you're going to place yourself somewhere in that scenario as your character and strike a pose and hold it. Okay, so there's not going to be talking. There's just going to be thinking about where you would be in this scenario, putting yourself in it, and then holding the pose. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, and the first one is going to be in a restaurant. So I'm going to move
4 chairs.
Trying to think of something that would be a parallel to a biblical feast. There weren't really restaurants necessarily in Bible times like we have them today. So I'd say think of this less in terms of like the money aspect of it, you know, people buying food, and more of like a formal situation in which food is given, and people have different places to be. Okay. So this is a super fancy restaurant, one where you have to make reservations far in advance, but still, I guess, within the realm of, like, a middle-class person's, not completely outside, like, for a special occasion, maybe you would go there. So think about everybody who is involved at a restaurant. Here's the table, okay? The kitchen is over here with different people doing things there. And then the street is here. There's windows. There's some windows here, okay, facing the street. And then here's the street. And here's, if we need more chairs, you could get more chairs. So think about, as your character, where are you in this scenario physically? Okay, so take a moment to just get to where you think you would be in this scenario, and then I'll give you a specific moment to strike a pose at. Okay? Anybody have questions? Or if you can imagine something else. Yeah. But I would say those would be the main ones. And, you know, there's all different roles within a restaurant. There's waiters, there's busboys, there's the chef, there's line cooks, and then there's not even in the restaurant. Okay. Everybody ready here? Okay. So I'm going to take on the role of a waiter for a minute, and I'm going to be coming. This restaurant is known for its bread. I know. So I'm going to be coming out with a big tray of bread, okay? I'm going to be putting it down, And as I put it down, I want you to strike a pose that shows how you are reacting in that moment. When the waiter sets down the bread, what are you looking at? How are you holding your body? Just strike that pose and hold it. Okay? Make sure it's not like a super uncomfortable pose, because you're gonna have to be. Okay. So think about how you're standing. Think about the emotions you might be having. Think about your posture. Are you tense? Are you relaxed? How aware of you are you of the people around you? Who are you aware of? What kind of physical distance do you have from the people around you? Are you aware of the differences or the similarities between you and the people around you? If you could change something about this, if you could have your heart's desire right now, what would it be? Or are you even thinking in those terms? Okay, so we're not going to discuss this right quite yet, but everybody kind of think about those questions and hold them in your mind. Okay, second scenario. You clear the chairs. You can sit down again for a minute. Okay. Second scenario, and I was trying to think of the equivalent of like when Roman emperors would throw bread like to the masses to try to appease them. So this is kind of the equivalent. Okay, so let's say you're at a music festival at a park, but it's a free festival, so even someone who's super poor could be there in the park, okay? But something has gone wrong with, I don't know, the food permits or the electric or something, and there's no food, and people have been there all day. Everyone's getting hungry. So the mayor and like a bakery work together to donate what's left of the day's bread. But what they kind of do is the crowd's kind of angry and hostile, so somebody pulls up in a truck and kind of dumps it out, and there's like a big pile of bread. Not a super big pile of bread, like not enough for everybody necessarily. But there's a big pile of bread. So you're at this festival as your character, or you happen to be in the park, and someone yells, "Free bread!" So what do? Where do you position yourself? Yep, get up and strike a pose. You may not care. Think about what's going through your mind, where your body is, how quickly you can move it. Think about your relationship to the other people around you. Are you aware of them? Are they competitors? Are they part of your community? Or do you just not care? Okay. All right, and you can be done with that one. Okay, for the last one, okay, one more scenario. there's this guy you've heard of who's supposed to be a good teacher, who's supposed to do these miracles, and you're really curious about him for whatever reason as your character. Whether you're curious or whether because you want to be healed or you have some inner problem that you're dealing with. So you've come out to see this man. You're far away from town. You've been out there for several days. You're super hungry. And Jesus tells you to sit down. You see him talking to his disciples, and he tells everybody, okay, sit down. So that's what we're going to do first. Anybody who's able, if you can sit on the floor, that would be good. And everybody else can have a seat on the chairs back there for this one. If we need to get more chairs, we can. So Jesus says, sit down. There is something about Jesus that is so compelling that you follow his orders. I think it's really interesting that he tells everybody to sit down, actually. So there wasn't really a choice. So you're seated, and you see these baskets that the disciples are starting to pass around. Okay? And you're hungry. So I want you to strike the pose that you have when the basket's coming down the line and you're seeing people, you know, taking their fill. When the basket comes to you and you look in and you reach for the bread and you realize that it's full, that there's enough for everyone, okay? That's the pose you're going to strike. You're reaching in and you see that the basket is full. Okay, so again, notice. Okay, we're doing this silently. Notice how your body feels in this moment. If you're relaxed or tense, notice what the bread is like. Maybe in the other scenarios you've had bread, and maybe in the other ones you haven't. How aware are you of the people around you? How aware are you of your differences or your similarities to them? Notice the physical distance. Compare that to the other scenarios. Think about in the other situations if you were grateful for the bread and compare that to how you might feel here. Okay. All right. So you can stay there, or if you're more comfortable, if you're on the floor and you're more comfortable in a chair, feel free to get in a chair. We're just going to take, I want to be mindful of time here, so we're just going to take a couple minutes to see if anybody has anything to share from this, any reflections on that experience. There's no like right or wrong reflection. We'll just take a couple minutes and do that. And, I did have specific questions for you to think about. So you don't have to answer these aloud, but think about your character as compared to yourself What do you empathize with in your character? You might have been someone who was very different from you in real life or someone who was very similar. As you went through the scenarios, what can you empathize with? How are you? How do you feel or respond in some of the same ways? Also think about, how did your response differ in each of the scenarios in terms of your own response and how aware you were of the people around you? And then if you want to draw any connections between how we experience God's gift of bread and of the bread of life, you can do that. Okay, Rose?
I could just say by experience that I felt like I was back in where I was before, because I've been in that, been there before, so I just felt like I knew what it felt like, being, you know, being poor and low self-esteem and just not feeling like I belong in society because, you know, going to school and everybody has, you know, nicer clothes than you, and you're wearing clothes that your grandmother made for you, or, you know, you don't have the money to be where these people are, and just feeling, and having people in that, in higher society, or people in leadership look down on you. So, I could feel that again. But when you were talking about the bread and there was enough for everybody, at that point I felt like I couldn't take it.
Hmm.
Because I felt like I didn't want to take from somebody else. I just felt like just being in the presence of God, being in the presence of Jesus, I just felt like that was enough for me to fulfill me, or to fill my body, that I felt like I didn't need it at that point.
Hmm.
I just felt that at that moment.
That was enough.
Yeah, that was enough.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
I was a three, and I really thought when I was sitting at the table that I had not a clue who was in the kitchen and who was on the street. And when the bread was in the middle and you could get, I really felt like bread. I mean, just that just seemed like poof, you know, what's a bunch of bread? But I was so struck when you said that passing the baskets, that it was full continuously, then it was like such a great equalizer. And there wasn't a differentiation then, because there was, I mean, everybody had enough. Anyway, I really felt that strongly.
Mm-hmm.
So I was one of the 12, so I would have been the equivalent of the paralytic, I guess, in the gospel. And in the first scenario, I wasn't in the room, I wasn't in the building, I wasn't even in the neighborhood. I was just isolated. In the crowd, the situation with the pile of bread, I was helpless to get any. So in both of those senses, both those cases, there was an experience of isolation and to some extent helplessness. In the last scenario, it felt so different. Everybody was in the same situation. We were all sitting. We were all on the ground. We were all waiting to receive the same thing. And somebody was coming to me.
I would just say, I was five. Pretty much to where I guess I would feel natural in society, so I didn't have to project anything too much beyond how I experienced it. But the real moment for me was when, as far as receiving the basket, being aware enough to figure out that, you know, this basket really shouldn't be full. And recognizing there was a mystery there draws me in.
I was a five. On the hillside, I when I received the basket, I was astonished. That was the only word, that was the word that came to my mind. I was astonished. And I began to ask myself, who is this person? So that was the singular thing that I experienced on the mountain. The scene that got me most was when I was a waiter at the table.
A waiter at the table? Is that what you said?
A waiter at the table was a five. And it suddenly dawned on me how, you know, I'm standing there smiling, looking cheerful, and it dawned on me how much our relationships, interacting relationships, are a reflection of our false self rather than our true self. And I suddenly saw in my head all the people outside and in the room sitting at a big table, and we were passing the food family style. And there were huge containers of really great food, and we were passing it down, scooping out big helpings and laughing and joking like you would at a family reunion, as opposed to being sort of in a subservient position to the four rich people at the table. I wasn't envious. It was a sort of a sadness for me at that moment that here we were posturing, literally posturing, but not being intimate.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it was a great sense of sadness at that scene, because nobody was really who they really are, and nobody was really happy.
I noticed when I was at the table that my initial response was to, hey, there's bread. But then when I thought about my character, it's like, he doesn't care about the bread. He cares about, you know, himself, whatever, you know.
His image.
Yeah. And I got that vibe from the rest of the people at the table that, you know, I'm the most important one here. No, I am. And paid no mind to what was going on around me or who was serving or anything. So, yeah, that was a very interesting exercise.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that people at both ends of the spectrum seemed, in that scenario, were less aware of the people around them, like the ones on the lower end just because they couldn't be, and the ones at the upper end because they didn't need to be. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Well, thank you, everyone. You were great sports. Oh, okay. No, that's good.